down to brass tacks, this person is so incensed. You say it is disgraceful that you all would play that nonsense on the radio again. What a disgrace. So you understand how people react to different views? You know, if an economist sit down here and said everything that the government has done is well done, no problem. But the minute you come with an alternative view, it's a different matter altogether. All right. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David. I would like to make 2 points. First, flow. Flow sometimes come on a little after 12 on your radio station.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But flow, the internet, it is so bad. Right? They're telling you, they're giving you more gigabytes, but every time I'm trying to call my family or anyone trying to call me, it just keep going beep, beep, beep and drop out. Yesterday, about 4 times. I cannot say, instead of improving, they're getting worse. And it's disgraceful and you still have to pay. And they said they're putting on more gigabytes on your phone or the internet and it's doing nothing because I heard recently from my friend, you know, the government was asking people to come here, and one of her family friends came, but they had to go back home because of the internet. They're not getting to work good because it keeps dropping out, and the person was not being connected properly, right? When they're doing the business, flow keep dropping out, and I want to know, they said, they're improving. Instead of improving, to me, they're gone way back. So, Flo really have to, they say one thing, but they're doing something else. And the next thing is the bus. I have family that have to work on holiday. And it says yesterday, the bus service, it was so packed. Right, I'm living in the country, and we didn't have, if they give you a bus at 3 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, you're not getting one till 4, right? And so the added time, that person, the people have to, say the 2 o'clock or the 3 o'clock, people have to catch the same service they're waiting, because vans don't really work on holidays. And yesterday evening, they said the bus was so packed and couldn't social distance. So I want to know if the bus people don't know. They said social distance. They're going to the vans. So what about the bus, the big bus? Hello?
I'm listening to you. So your concern is that it exposes you now to the threat of COVID.
Yes, it is.
Well, it is something that the authorities need to look at. I mean, last time it was on the radio, somebody called to say that a man went to the polyclinic, and when he got there, he tested positive. I must say that gentleman really needs our respect. And
yes, he does.
And thanks, because to walk from the polyclinic 4 miles home because he didn't want to expose anybody else to that. I mean, that was admirable, you know?
Not everybody's like that.
Yes.
Especially if you're living in the country. Right? And you have to get transportation. You think you can walk from, say you don't have money for taxi, or even right from Bridgetown to St. John? You wouldn't like, people wouldn't do that.
But given what is happening now, I think it is expected that we would put a little bit more emphasis on trying the protocols and that sort of thing in the buses. The degree to which we are hearing announcements about this person testing positive in this business place and the other and that sort of thing, it is more serious now than it has ever been, right? And when we were into lockdown last year, it was not as bad as it is now. I mean, what they said, 700, over 700 positive cases in January alone.
Yep.
So, you know, so your concern about what is happening on the bus is valid.
Yeah, because they say you don't have a bus of 2 o'clock. That 2 o'clock crowd, and they have a bus for 3, it meets up, right? And remember, people is on the road. So that's why the bus is full.
Yes. All right, ma'am. Here's an interesting story out of Jamaica. The University of the West Indies at Mona says it is currently investigating the sale of certificates purporting to be undergraduate and postgraduate degrees conferred by that institution. The university has condemned the actions of those involved, adding that the matter is quite concerning. This is carried in today's edition of the Jamaica Gleaner newspaper. They go on to say, we wish to advise employers, educational institutions, and all others concerned to be vigilant and on the alert for these non-genuine documents, a statement from the UWI read. It is also advised those who come into possession of the counterfeit documents to report the matter to the fraud unit of the Jamaica Police Force. It noted that all certificates conferred by the university have security features to guarantee their authenticity. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay. Yesterday, I traveled on the van. I rode van going to Greens and Greens, Grass Hall and Ellerton. And when I got into the bus terminal, they weren't in the van there, but then eventually one came. So it was me and a young lady and two other people. But this young lady, now, when I got into the bus, she had the mask in her hand. So I said to her, could you please, can you put on your mask? And she said to me, no. And you know, the bus van, he was there taking the money. And you know, he looked back and checked to see if the woman was wearing a mask or nothing like that. And although I pleaded with her to tell her, put on your mask. The young woman did not put on a mask. The conductor, the chauffeur, the van, he did never say nothing. You know, you're trying to wear your mask, and then you want other people know coming in the bus services and the van, and they're not wearing a mask. And I think this is ridiculous. You know, we're trying to shield ourselves, but they're coming in now to give it to you, because they don't want to wear the mask. And although I tell her, please, could you put on your mask? She said, no. And the bus driver let her get in that van without the mask and get off of that van without the mask.
Well,
yeah,
you know, it isn't.
Attention.
I am not so sure that it is mandatory in Barbados. The government has avoided making it mandatory. There's some, I mean, in the United States, the president is making it mandatory for people who go into government buildings.
Mm-hmm.
People still have that choice here. It is highly recommended. But people are still in a position to say, well, if I don't want to wear a mask, I am not going to wear one.
I could understand that, but I mean, if you're traveling in the public domain, I see every people got people wearing their mask. I see you should put on yours.
Well, the critical thing is that you had on yours.
Yes,
and that's
everybody
important, huh?
Yes, and what happened is that it was a public holiday yesterday. There weren't nobody there, so the terminal checking to see who was wearing a mask or not.
Yes,
you know, so that's what it is. All right.
Thank you very much. This person wants to say that regarding the mosquito issues in communities in Barbados, they want to know why is it that people in the communities can't look around those communities and deal with the mosquito breeding sites and fix the problem on their own. They say, yes, I understand the government has a role to play. However, why can't the people of Barbados use their own initiative to clean up their own communities? The National Insurance Department, there was a lady who raised an issue earlier. They want that woman to call them at this number. One of these numbers. 431-7415. 431-7415. That's 7415. Or 231-5176. 231-5176. Those numbers again for the National Insurance. 431-7415 and 231-5176. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks at 23 minutes after midday. Hello.
Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm okay. And you?
I'm good.
Yes, sir.
You and I spoke last year, January, concerning the matter of the service providers increasing the bandwidth on their internet. You remember that conversation?
Yes.
Right. And I told you that it affects persons who work from home. And then there was COVID. And now we're encouraging persons wherever possible to work from home. But we've also increased the usage by having school online for students. And the government's welcome stamp encourages persons to come to Barbados and work from Barbados. But there's no statement, David, from the telecom providers as to whether or not they increase the bandwidth to accommodate all of this. What's your take on it, sir?
Well, I understand the concern that you've raised, and, you know, given the extent to which people are working from home and that sort of thing, you would expect that there would be increased pressure on the system, and it would be useful to hear from the service providers
how they have been
able to rise to this occasion.
Well, they're not rising, David. My internet is buffering a lot still. Mm-hmm. It was buffering in January 2020, and this is 2021, still having some slow periods, especially, like, for instance, the inauguration of the U.S. president. Throughout that period, I was having some slow internet challenges. I guess it was because of heavy usage again. That's one thing. But I want to know what the government's position on this whole thing, saying that they are inviting persons to come and work in Barbados. They're encouraging public servants, if possible, wherever possible, to work from home, and those in the private sector. What is the government doing to, I don't want to say wring the hands of the service providers, but what is their position on what should obtain as we go forward? Certainly it can't continue as it is. You can't have asked someone to come here and work, and then the internet is so slow that they're not really producing the work that is needed in this source country. Do you agree with me, sir?
I agree with you.
Right. That's one thing. And secondly, David, that economist that spoke on what you replayed just now hit the nail on the head. I believe that the government really dropped the ball when they didn't make the adjustment to the new strain from the UK. They didn't make that adjustment at all. They continue as normal, and they didn't close the borders to persons traveling from the UK, or at least what the economist has said. No short-term stays. If you're coming for 6 weeks or more, it means that you can quarantine for a longer period. So you'll be able to adjust the quarantine period. You'll be able to adjust the requirements of persons who are entering our country as it relates to that COVID-19 test, a negative test. So none of that was done, and I am very ashamed of the Minister of Health when he said that there's no need to make changes at this time. I mean, those words will probably haunt him for a long time, because there's no stopping to... I've never heard of a case of 70 or 80 in Barbados. No, I don't think we've ever had that in one day. But that's what's occurring, or what has occurred in the past. And there's a lot of fear out there, David. Persons are generally afraid, and the government is not forthcoming with the truth. I believe that they dragged their feet too long on determining whether that new strain is here or not. Jamaica says there, because they had the test done, and I was surprised that it was only last week or whatever to hear from Dr. George that they've only sent off the samples to be tested.
Well, apparently the health minister has been saying it is not a priority for them. Their priority is dealing with trying to get this thing under control. But I thought you two of them were one and the same. I mean, if you have a highly contagious strain of the virus, that has implications for your capacity to get things under control. To me, but you know, this is not the brass tacks. And always remember that this project is really aimed at giving people the opportunity to share their views. We may not necessarily agree all the time, and it is not really aimed at producing just agreement, but to bring diverging perspectives to the table so that we can discuss the problems that face us as a country and as a people. If you look at it in that context, you wouldn't get too annoyed when people say things that you don't necessarily agree with. It sounds as though we left them some headphones on, so giving us a little bit of feedback. We'll sort that out shortly. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Hello? 434-1790, that's the number for you to call. What's on your mind today? Hello? Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am.
Right. A previous caller mentioned about fear.
Yes.
In connection with public transport, I am not hearing the same hype that I heard when the Tsar had the matters under control with public transport, because it was said that one person per seat, where normally two people would sit. I'm not hearing any of that. And the numbers are far exceeding what they were when the Tsar had matters under control. And I'm asking, please, for a return to that, where two persons per seat in the back, and one where two persons would normally sit.
Fair
we
enough.
Would like, please, I'm speaking on the behalf of persons who have to take public transport. The fear is real, as a previous caller said, and we know that it is finances that is the general concern, but greater and far above finances is human life. And I need to hear some more emphasis being put on public transport and safety where people's lives are concerned, because I'm not hearing it.
Okay, well, thanks for raising it and making such a strong plea for us to return to a focus on this particular area. I agree with you that it is really important, really, really important. And I don't know who's... There's a little bit of confusion about whether it's mandatory to wear masks on public transport. I believe, going back to what had happened last year, I believe it was considered mandatory that people should wear masks on public transport. This was something that was emphasized quite a bit as well. May not be mandatory on the street, but I know that it came up with this question of air-conditioned vehicles and that sort of thing, you know. But it is the wise thing to do. I mean, it is not just a question of trying to protect yourself, but also trying to protect other people, especially this issue which was raised by the woman about a younger person getting in the vehicle and not wearing a mask. That younger person has to bear in mind that while they may be able to deal with the particular disease, older people traveling in the vehicle could have a problem, you know. So thank you very much, ma'am. I agree with you. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. Hello? Do we have someone there? Okay, so that call has dropped out. So other matters that we are looking at, there is a very interesting story relating to Google, and it is out of Australia, where Google is threatening to remove its search engine from Australia because that country is implementing laws to force Google to share royalties with news publishers. This is something that is particularly relevant to us in the Caribbean as well. There has been some concern raised about the extent to which Google has come into the Caribbean market. It's offering advertising to people within the region. It is taking information from media houses across the region, but it pays nothing for the information that it is sharing online. Australia is introducing a world-first rule to make Google, Facebook, and potentially other tech companies pay media outlets for their news content. But Google is fighting back, warning that the law would make them withdraw some of their services. And the Australian Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has said that they are not going to yield to what he called these threats. So it's a very interesting case there, because it will set a precedent that could find that Google will be asked to pay others for their content. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, Mr. Ellis, this is my first time calling Brass Tacks.
Yes, what has motivated you?
Me? I am very annoyed and upset about the, I'm disappointed with the reporting that the government is doing with regard to the COVID numbers. Now, we had the dashboard from the time the virus landed in Barbados in March last year. And every day when it started, you would get the numbers come out on a daily basis. Now we have a spike. You hear about cases here and there. The dashboard has been sort of disabled. And when you do not have information being put out, you get room for fake news and for false information. And it gives the impression that someone is trying to hide something or suppress something or deceive something. I don't see why Barbados, which I think is one of the top black countries in the world, we have technology that other countries don't have. We have systems in place that other countries don't have. Many other countries look up to us as a model. And I believe that the failure to put the information on the dashboard makes the problem worse. I've heard from different reports in the media about the information being disseminated via the press releases, but that is not good enough, because I'm getting figures. Instead of giving the figures, we just need four numbers for each day. Number of tests, the number of cases, the number of deaths, and the number of recoveries. Four simple numbers that a country of our size with our resources should be able to produce to the public every day on a daily basis. It is not good enough, I want to say, we had so many cases in January, or we had so many tests this week, or we had so many of this or that or the other over the past 3 days. You cannot compare that properly, because in the numbers that were released in the various press conferences and releases, I've not even had or heard, of the number of recoveries. I have a spreadsheet chart that I follow, that I created, I set it up, and every day I put the numbers and I plug them in, I can see when the spike occurred, when the cases go up and down, whatever. The numbers have been released, but they do not release the number of, in the past few days, I've not seen a number for the recoveries or the number of current active cases. these are things the country needs to know. If you're going to fight something, you got to have information so that people can be informed and they know what to do.
What do you have as the last total figure of cases in Barbados?
The last number of cases I had was 1,156.
Yes.
And the total number of tests, I think 93,000, going from memory, 93,070. And the thing about that 93,070 is when I had my spreadsheet prior to that press release, my total number of cases was tests was 85,000 and something. Everything was flowing nicely. You could get the information until shortly after the spike. And around the time when they said one person died and then another person died, I think one was the death of the two older gentlemen. One was on Sunday and one was on Tuesday. And it doesn't help. You need to tell people to look at the press releases. Sometimes you don't have time, but I have to go and piece things together. There's little bits of information here and there. It's all disjointed, and you're not getting a complete picture. And it can give the impression that someone somewhere in the chain of command somewhere is trying to either suppress the information or hide it or something. And that can create more problems than anything else. So I'm saying that a country like Barbados, we pride ourselves, as Kofi Annan said, Kofi Annan once said that we punch above our weight. We're not punching above our weight now. Every day, why can't a country like Barbados have four simple numbers every day? Total number of tests, total number of positive cases, total number of deaths, and the total number of recoveries. Very simple. What's the problem? Why did they stop the dashboard? That's unacceptable. And it's the first time in my life that I've ever had to call a call-in program. They're doing the country a disservice. And I've supported this government from the time I first voted. So I'm one of the strongest supporters of the government over there. But you have to say what you have to say. It's not transparency. I'm not happy about it at all.
When is the last dashboard that you saw? I see one here, January 14th, January 15th.
Yes, from the 14th to the 16th, and it has some numbers in there. It had numbers for the 14th, some numbers for the 15th, and it has a few numbers for the 16th. We are now at the 22nd. And yesterday, Mayor Alabar there, there's a famous speech Alabar made about the mirror image. He asked, what mirror image do we have of ourselves? And looking at what we're saying now, we do not have a mirror. You need a mirror to reflect on yourself and see what you're looking at. This is not good enough. They need to fix it. Four numbers a day for a country of Barbados' size and the resources that we have and all the technology that we have, way above many other countries. We need to get those four numbers each day published for the public to see. It's not transparency. This is the opposite of transparency. And where you don't put the figures out, that is what will make room for fake news. So nobody should be complaining about fake news and false information if you do not put out the real numbers. I'm very angry about this. I'm very disappointed about it too.
Okay, thank you very much.